رسول الله
وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. الحمد لله رب العالمين that out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy and grace that he gave us the opportunity to witness the month of Ramadan. And today, alhamdulillah, is the fifth day on the month of Ramadan, the month of mercy. We know, I am not going to talk, I would like to share with you today in the khutbah some thoughts and some ideas and some major milestones about fasting. I'm not going to talk about the nature of legislation in fasting, because we all know those. We know what make null the fasting and when to start and when to end and what type of fasting and how to make up and all of these things. Alhamdulillah, we're all very aware of it. But I'd like to share with you some of the points that it can do some kind of a reinforcement to the essence and to the goal of fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he ordained on us fasting, he said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ هُوْ بِلِيفْ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah ordained on us fasting so we may acquire piety. So we need to look at the month of Ramadan as an act of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is giving us a chance and say, stop. See what you are doing, where you are going. See what you are doing is really right or not. Is what you are doing is really getting you closer or not? Or getting you, walayhazu billah, further or not? And to deal with month of Ramadan like you deal with anything successful in your life, you have to have a plan. You have to have a plan to what you really want to do. And there is no plan without a goal. The goal is to do what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to acquire taqwa and for you to get to be a better human being by applying what Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to apply in the month of Ramadan. So we need to learn these and we need to apply in our life. But what is this plan is supposed to look like? The first step and the major step, and that's what the whole entire month of Ramadan is all about, is to giving you a chance to sit down with yourself and reconcile objectively what you are doing. No one of us, that's starting by me and ending by me, and may Allah forgive us all. You and I, we are mixing good and bad. There are some disobedient. And walayazu billah, there are some major we are doing during the whole entire month, during the whole entire year. Time to sit down and to be honest with yourself. It is not an issue of being hungry or being thirsty or doing this and doing that. If the month of Ramadan does not change you from inside out, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying there are people, all they get out of their fasting is being hungry and being thirsty. So the first thing that you really need to do, sit down with yourself and ask yourself, what is it that I am doing wrong? What is it in my life that I need to really clean and get out of it? What are those things that I am doing and I am saying it is okay? It is a small thing. The minute you said it is okay and it is a small thing, you turn the small thing to a big thing, to a major thing, because like this, you are in a position where you are evaluating yourself instead of leaving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to evaluate you. So the first thing you need to do, ask yourself, what is it I am doing wrong? What is it that I want to get rid of? The first thing that you need to get rid of, I know that we have that in common, getting used to what you do. If your day or you are in your mind objecting that that day turn out to be routine like yesterday, like the day before, and hoping tomorrow will be the same, that is a time to think about how you invest your life. Are you really doing the right thing or not? Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, if you are not in development and increase, you are in decrease. You are slipping. So first, you need to understand and to identify those what you and I call the small things, the small mistakes, the small shortcomings, the small things that everybody is doing. Why should I stop? No, you stop. Because when you are in pain, you are alone in pain. And when you die, you're going to be alone when you die. And you go to your grave alone, you're going to meet your maker alone. And when he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asks you, you're going to answer alone. People were not going to be able to answer for you. Or it's going to be a justification that I did what they did. You need to sit down and reconcile with yourself. Number two, you need to get right into your heart and see what's in it. See what's in your heart. Do you have a jealous? Do you have a hate? Do you have an envy to somebody? Do you have a greed? All of these are major disease. They are eating up your iman and eating up your life. Revenge or hate. Do you know when you hate somebody or you seek revenge from somebody, what really you are doing? You are exactly going like somebody, go and select the best possible poison that you can get and drinking it, hoping that his enemy will die. That's exactly what we do when we start to hate others. That's exactly what we do when we sit down day and night seeking revenge and seeking opportunity. And maybe we are smiling in other people's face and we hate them. Why we hate them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us in each other's road, way to be a mercy to each other. وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. Allies to each other. Not partners, allies. Allies is not only having a mutual interest, but have a mutual feeling. Partners, we have a mutual interest. I got my interest, you got your interest, everybody is happy. But allies, no, there is a feeling involved in here. So you need to clean up your heart. You need to change that person from inside. You need to understand that that heart, you have to be the most pure part inside you. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Hadith Qudsi, he said, لَمْ تَسَعْنِي سَمَائِي وَلَمْ تَسَعْنِي أَرْضِي وَلَكِنْ يَسَعْنِي قَلْبَ عَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. All heaven and all earth cannot contain my glory. But the heart of a sincere believer is good enough to contain my glory. Now, are you that heart? I am asking myself, are you that heart? Are you that heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rest his peace in it? Obviously, when you have somebody coming over, the first thing you do is you clean your place. Have it neat. Have it vacuum. So in the month of Ramadan, vacuum your heart. Get rid of whatever there is poisoning you and poisoning your system. That's the time to let it go. You're going to say, some people, they've been unfair to me. Why not? Are you better than Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Read his history. See when he was fairly treated. And which one, if you have a choice, to be the oppressed, and in the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get you your right, or to be the oppressor? You don't have a time. neither you or me have a time or luxury of hating. Hating, like I said, is a poison. And you are getting that poison and drinking it, hoping that the other person will die. It's not going to work. You are the one who's going to get poisoned, and you are the one who's going to die. Your heart is dying. Your soul is dying. And with diseases that get out of that, also your body will die. You need to clean up your heart. But cleaning up your heart, you have, like I said, to evaluate what's between you and between other people. If it is an issue related to your own right, highly recommended, forgive. Don't worry about who is right and who is wrong. Just forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, when you forgive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive. Because when you forgive, you are not forgiving for the sake of glory or sake of money or sake of position. You forgive and you know that you are in pain of what the other person did to you. When you are forgiving, you are only doing it for the sake of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking us, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهَ لَكُمْ? Don't you love and like Allah to forgive you? If you want Allah to forgive you, forgive others. That's the first category of people. But what is the second category of people? The second category, that the one that they are oppressor and they are unfair, violating not your right, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right. They are violating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right. For those people, wal'ayazu billah, neither you or me have the right to forgive them. Because what forgiving them means what? You are violating the whole entire Surah Al-Kawn. You are the whole entire system. You are violating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right. And you are sending wrong messages to wrong people, where nobody going to benefit. Except the one who repent and go back. And may Allah forgive us all. But you never accept a wrongdoing by the name of mercy. You never accept a violation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala law, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right, by the name of mercy. You cannot do that, because simply you don't have the right to do that. Can you imagine two people in a fight and you are forgiving one of them? They are the one who has, the deal is between them, not between you. You are not even merely a witness. But what I can do with those people, azhum, advise them. Never send from your body or from your tongue or from your behavior a message that it says that what you are doing is okay. That's what is قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ is all about. Advise them. Warn them. And if they are insistent, they are stubborn and keep on going, فَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Avoid them. Avoid them. Unfortunately, under name of social class or countrymen or whatever, we are keep dingling and mingling with people. We know that they are wrongdoer. We know that they are doing wrong. But we are hosting them in our homes. We are allowing them to communicate with our families. And they are actually, when we do that, we already send the message. You are different, but it is okay. There is a difference between being different, and that's a blessing of Allah to be different, and being in the area of right and wrong. Being in the right and wrong, right is right and wrong is wrong. Being indifferent, we all came in here today. 2/3 of us, if you speak your own native language, no one will understand. But we all here in common. We are different. Each one of us have a different type of car. Alhamdulillah, that's okay. Differences is not bad. But what is really bad is right and wrong, halal and haram, lawful and forbidden. So you need when you are doing, preparing and getting ready in your plan for reconciling with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to examine the nature of this relationship. The first type, just to let go. And the second one, that is a good opportunity to call in and to advise them, to warn them, to promote them, and also to warn them. And if you see no hope, what you do? You avoid them. It is also a time to put the priority in your life right. The priority must be right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, He set the priority of our action. When He said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا. If you look at the Quran, the commands of the Quran, you will feel sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promoting you, but He is not ordering you. He wants you to do it, but He wants you to, when you do it, you are happy and satisfied by doing it. Why you want to do it? Because I want to do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the type of, you're going to see type of that command in the Quran. There is another type in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying what? No. No interference from you. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say, Allah is one. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. In those type of command, that means you have no choice, I have no choice, we have to go. We have to do it. So in the priority that I'm talking about, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what He said, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so decree. That is from the second type of decisions. Allah decree, order, no place here. أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. Submit to none but Him. Obey none but Him. And be very kind to your parents. What kind of a parents you got is irrelevant. They loved my brother better. They loved my sister better. My whatever was alcoholic. My mom did whatever. They are your parents. They are your parents. They have the same rights, and you have to fulfill your obligations. We know in any given contract, the contract is null, finished, including the marriage contract, by the death of one of the partners. And all the consequences of that contract expire. Any given contract, except to the parents. And the parents, the only time your obligation will go away, not when they are dead, but by your own death. When you yourself die. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. So that Allah have mercy on them as they raised me while I was young. So the first priority if you want to do in the month of Ramadan, and while you are examining, what is it you doing with your parents? It doesn't make any difference if they are alive or not. Are you in every single day doing something to make them happy? Doing something to get them closer to Allah mercy? Or you are not? I am not saying occasionally, I am saying every single day. Are you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them? Are you doing any charity or any sadaqah or anything on their behalf? Are you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them, to forgive their sin? Are you doing any of those? The month of Ramadan is the beginning of it. And the month of commitment is in the month of Ramadan. Your parents is the top priority. And if you want your children to remember you when you are in your grave, you better teach them and train them from now, when they see you, loyal to your own parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them loyal to you, and they seek forgiveness for you when you are in your grave. It doesn't take weeks to 10 days to forget the dead people. And when you are gone, you are gone. History. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan teaching us also how to be loyal. How to set our priority right. Okay. Another thing in the preparation of the month of Ramadan. Wherever you're going to start, you will never ever stop. Whatever that is, you are the one who decides. You are the one who's going to scale it. You are the one who's going to identify it. But once you start, you never stop. If you decide, I'm going to read one single verse of the Quran every single night, that's the beginning and the end when Allah take your soul. Rain and shine, like what they say, it's going to be one single. If you want to increase that, alhamdulillah. But Quran does not belong to the month of Ramadan only. How about the other 11 months? Whatever you start in the month of Ramadan, you provided evidence that you can do. You can fast. You can read the Quran. You can pray at night. You can make tahajjud. You can cut corners and make charity. And you can make sadaqah. You can do a lot of things. You proved you can do it. Not one time, but 30 days, 30 times. Why we don't make them 360? So you have to, whatever you start, you never stop. And don't start big. No one asking you big. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, the best deed is the one that you started continuously, even if it is very small. But you are continuous about it. You never give it up. And that's exactly what we really need to have it. And whatever you decided to do in the month of Ramadan, keep it up. And that's move you from the month of Ramadan to the state of Ramadan. شهر رمضان الله سبحانه وتعالى it has a lot of excellency, not only to the messenger or to the ummah of Islam Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but there is no time for those. Event happened with Sayyidina Musa, event happened with Sayyidina Isa radwanullahi alayhim, it happened in the month of Ramadan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala identified شهر رمضان how? He said, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. That means the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. So uniquely, the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. You are in the month of the Quran. You need to know your obligation about Quran. You don't have to finish reading the whole entire Quran on the month of Ramadan. Maybe you are. Some people, alhamdulillah, and some people, they don't. But you do your best. But you need to realize and understand, fasting is not the goal of the month of Ramadan. It is a tool that you use to develop the taqwa. And the way to develop the taqwa is to know what's in the Quran. That means you have to realize and understand what is my obligation to the Quran. My obligation to the Quran is to read the Quran every day. I'm not going to say how much you should read. Like I said, you can say only one ayah. You can say Alif Lam Mim and stop. Or you can say Wal Asr. It's just the start. But be consistent. And see what's going to happen. So your obligation is to recite the Quran. Your obligation is to try to understand the Quran. It is a big crime. Big crime. And I'm repeating, big crime. Is somebody reciting the Quran and you don't know what you are doing. You don't know or you understand what you are reading. Nobody pushing you to finish anything. A small thing, you understand it, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. You don't stop. Take your time. Find out. Investigate it. Ask somebody. And there is so many means to do it. But understand the Quran. There is a lot of things, small vows, small things can tremendously change the meaning and make it opposite. And make it opposite. So you have to really understand what you are reading. Also, try to memorize the Quran every day. Try to teach the Quran every day. You're going to say, I'm not qualified. No, you are qualified. If you know one ayah, one single ayah, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put the minimum. He said, Balighu anni walau ayah. That means what? Propagate even one single ayah. If you have one ayah, you have more than enough. One ayah. You can share that with your wife while you are sitting down to eat. You can share that with your children after the Maghrib prayer. You can share that with your family, with your friend. Balighu anni walau ayah. Propagate even one ayah. And if you are not the one who is going to do it, who will do it? I don't know any other people will do it. We are the one who is supposed to do it. And also, you have to defend on the Quran every single day. There is a lot of people, they divert, they change the meaning, they confuse, they give different things. And people are spending millions and billions of dollars to divert the Muslim from the Quran. And some of you already heard about the attempt. It is not attempt, it is out there already. They came up with a new book, it's called Al-Furqan. If you open that book, you will see everything in it. If you don't know what you understand, it can very easy fool you. Very easy can fool you. It's taking a lot of verses from the Quran, putting it, and it changed. It changed the name. It changed the meaning. You have to stand up for that. Because if you are learned, even if you know enough to say that's phony, your children, they are not. A lot of people, they are really, especially the new one, that they never been exposed. Especially in non-speaking Arabic countries. They are selling day and night. And the people buying them as if they are Quran because they are cheap. Very cheap. And others and others and others and others. So you have to say, no, this is the Quran. You see the effort of making the Quran, or the people that they do. But okay, listen man. I am not a learned man. I don't have the Arabic language. I don't even have a time. I work two jobs. By the time I go home, what do you want me to talk and to do this and to do that? Can I still do it? Yes, you can do it. How am I going to do it? Raise your hand and say, Allah, protect the Islam and the Muslim. Ya Allah, protect the Quran. Make dua be a part of the effort. You can all the time make dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, one of the things that you need very much to commit yourself to is akhlaq al-rasul, the ethics of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba yawm al-qiyamah. You will be with whomever you love in the day of judgment.
If you love Sayyidina Muhammad, you want to be with Sayyidina Muhammad, the minimum you can do is to do what? To know who is Sayyidina Muhammad. How Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behaved. What he was doing in the month of Ramadan. What he was doing. What if you want to be with Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, start to make your way now. It is not a reservation, and if you have a money, you go first class in an airplane or in a train or whatever. You have to build your way. Al-mar'u ma'a ahabbu yawm al-qiyamah. You will be with whomever you loved in this life. Also, you need to train your tongue to do a dua. Train your tongue to do dua, to do dhikr, supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Train yourself to say, you can be walking and thinking about so many things. But if you're going to say, I'm going to do the best investment now, and I'm going to train my tongue to say, astaghfirullah. And keep till you reach your car, astaghfirullah. And when you are driving, alhamdulillah. When you come out of your car, Allahu Akbar. And keep in a state of zikr. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pour peace and tranquility in your heart. And zikr is one of the major. The zikr is one of the three major things, like thermometer, can give you feedback about in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them, the prayer. If you do not feel the peace and tranquility when you are praying, examine what you are doing, because you are locked out. If you do not feel the peace and tranquility when you are reciting the Quran, examine what you are doing, because you can be locked out. And when you are doing zikr Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, supplication, and if you do not feel the peace and tranquility of it, examine what you are doing, because you can be locked out. And the last thing I want to say about dhikr is this. When somebody comes to you and say, good morning, or how are you today? I really appreciate what you did. What is your reaction and what is your response? You are happy with that, and what you do, you give them the compliment back. Usually we give the compliment back. When somebody say thank you say thank you, and even you make a vow that you really mean what you're doing. Okay, now I want you to imagine yourself, you are doing this compliment and expressing that love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's going to be his reaction? Nothing? Blank? Or he's going to give you back when you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's going to go blank in vacuum, or there is a feedback? No, it's going to be a feedback. And that feedback, your heart will pick it up. But that heart must be where? On the right tune. The heart must be on the right tune so you can get the feedback from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last thing I want to say, on the last major stone in the khutbah, and I'd like to share with you, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you. And please, it is a time to realize and understand. You do not do things because you want to do it. But you do things because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits you to do it. When you pray, you do not pray because you won't pray, but you are praying because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits you to pray. When you do a charity, Allah permits you to do the charity. Why? Because He wants you to get the benefit. So you are not in any position, neither you or me in a position to do what we want to do, when we want to do, how we want to do, and start and stop when we want. No, but we do it because Allah permit us to do it. Let me get the point. I try sometimes out of a blue sky to call somebody or to go and to visit somebody. He can say, I'm sorry, I'm not available now. I'm not available now. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things, when Allah driving you and drive things in your way, be grateful. Be grateful that Allah drove these things to your attention and drove these things to your way, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to get the reward of it. And part of that raga and the hope, never wait a good deed to come to you. You go to the good deed. You seek the good deed. You go out to find out what is the good deed and do it. Don't wait somebody come and knocking on your door and say, I am in trouble, or so and so in trouble. You, to start with, go and investigate and find out. And before anybody else, if you can, do what you need to do and need what you can do. All the time, be the finder, not sit down waiting for the good deed to come to you to be done. You go out and try to get it. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering and accept our siyam and our qiyam, and give us the courage and the wisdom to study the teaching of the Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and apply him in our life, so we can live in peace and we can die in peace. And inshallah, in the hereafter, we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companions of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Alhamdulillah, والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. I want to finish the khutbah by one hadith, and that hadith summed the whole thing. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ ابْنَ آدَمَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. قَالُوا وَمَنْ يَأْبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. قَالَ مَنْ أَطَعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ دَخَلَ النَّارِ. He said, all the sons of Adam, the offspring of Adam, they are in Jannah, except the one who doesn't want to. They said, Ya Rasulullah, is there anyone doesn't want to? He said, yes. The one who will obey, inshallah, he will go to Jannah. And the one who will disobey, because when you disobey by your will. Nobody push you. So the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wide open. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسَ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. This is the true area for the competition of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Month of Ramadan, there almost, we are on the fifth day. It's really getting ready to depart. Take advantage of it as much as you can. And when I say as much as you can, I don't mean quantity. I never meant quantity. I will never mean quantity. I mean quality. I mean the quality. Sit down and clean up your heart. Sit down and see your mistakes and correct it and commit yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will never go back. Believe me, there is nothing worse, nothing worse. What that shortcoming or the mistake that you are saying it is okay to do, everybody is doing it. Why? Because lawful cannot live with unlawful. And if lawful accept to live with unlawful, the unlawful will never accept to live with lawful. And please, wake up and never get used to what you are doing. You are unfair to yourself when you put yourself in a frame of habits. I'm going to finish the khutbah by reminding you by one thing. The first word that came in the Quran, it said, Iqra. And the first word that came in the declaration of the faith, it says, no. La. La ilaha. That means, la, that means what? I will never accept a reality. There is all the time something better to do, to do what? To do la ilaha illallah, and that's exactly my approach. This is my way. I will never settle for anything like less than that. Till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do what? Take my soul. The month of Ramadan is the month of saying la. The month of saying no. Say no. Say it inside in your soul. Say it by your mind. Say it by your heart. And inshallah, inshallah, by the end of the month of Ramadan, I hope we all will be among the utaqa. Al-utaqa is the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exempt them from the hellfire and exempt them from the punishment, inshallah. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and ask Him to guide us and to bless us. Forgive all our sin, all our mistakes, all our shortcomings, the state of absence that we are living in, and give us the wisdom and the courage to go right back to the track by studying the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and apply him in our life, so we can live in peace and we can die in peace, and inshallah the hereafter will be in peace and will be among a companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in paradise. Ibadallah, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.